Hey, we're beginning here on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Bet, five lines from the bottom. Before we start today's daf, we're going to give a quick introduction to concepts that are very fundamental to the world of Iser v'Heter, two of which will appear on today's daf, the first of which is Heter Mitzteref Lisur. Later on in the second half of today's daf, we'll bump in Tam Ki Ikar. Now, Tam Ki Ikar is like exactly what it sounds like, Tam, flavor. Ki Ikar is like the thing itself or the item itself. That means that within the world of Iser v'Heter, even though the object is not extant or the object is not in front of us, be'en, it still can have impact on other objects that can make them asurim. That is because the flavor of the item is considered to be as if it is the item itself. This, by the Gemara, is considered to be a simpler concept. And that could be because the whole purpose of consumption of food is because of the tam, of that which you get, the hanah, the benefit, the enjoyment you get out of consuming the food. In essence, flavor is the identifying feature of all these items or these food substances, and therefore it's not batel, and that's why it remains as an isur. Rashi seems to take this one step further and say that the tam then converts whatever it is in contact with into the isur itself. And that means that the meaning of achila, according to Rashi, is whatever flavor you are experiencing or ingesting. According to that, it would turn out that the issue of tam ki ikar would only have application by dinei achila, and not maybe by dinei hana'a, and that turns out to be a machloket in the Rishonim. And therefore, tam, something that is conveyed flavor from an object, that object then can impact on other items. So for instance, when you have chametz, which is asur, if you don't have the chametz here, but the chametz flavored something and gave a flavor of chametz to it, it will be impactful. Same thing by basar b'chalav. Even though you don't have any chalav present, but if the chalav gave flavor to the pot, to the item, and that is conveyed into what you're consuming now, that is basar, that would be a problem of basar b'chalav. And same thing with any other isur in the Torah. We say, tam ki ikar, the flavor of the item, that which is conveyed by the item in flavor, has the same status as the item itself. Later on today's daf, Rashi and Tosafot argue exactly about what tam ki ikar is. Rashi believes that tam ki ikar means that whatever is flavored by this item then becomes isur. So for instance, if you have a piece of bread and now it's soaked in wine, the wine now is flavoring the bread that has been soaked in this wine. So Rashi believes then that the entire bread, the entire object that you're going to consume now is asur because it has the flavor of wine. And just like the flavor is asur, when it flavors another object, that object then becomes similar to the flavor because it has the flavor in it. And therefore the whole object is asur. That means that if a nazir, who is restricted from consuming wine, if he consumes a kazayit of this bread that is soaked in wine, or has the flavor in wine, he will be chayav. Even though in that consumption, the amount of flavor that he consumed is below a kazayit, nevertheless the flavor now is imported to a kazayit worth of material, and therefore it is, according to Rashi, asur and problematic.
The Rash Mishants, in a Mishnah Tful Yom, which we'll quote later in today's daf,
believes, and many of the other Rishonim believe, that when we say Tam Ki Ikar, that just means that the flavor is considered substantive. Doesn't mean that when you flavor something else, then that object also becomes asur as well, or isur as well. It simply means that it is carrying the flavor, and if you can, by eating that item, aggregate the amount of flavor that would be like a kazayit worth of flavor, then you're going to be chayav. So in our case that we mentioned before, if you have bread that's soaked in wine, then it doesn't matter how much bread is consumed by you. What matters is the amount of flavor of wine that you've consumed that is now soaked in or imbued into this bread. And therefore, tam ki ikar, the flavor we look at as if it is extant, as if it is a real item and it's mamashut. And therefore, whatever you have of that flavor, if it adds up to a kezayit worth of isur, then you're going to be chayav for the isur, or violating the isur. So that's one machloket between Rashi and Tosafot that relates to this concept called tam ki ikar. In addition, we have here heter mitzaref isur, which we're going to start out with today. There, Rashi and Tosafot build on their opinions in the other area of tam ki ikar, which is the basic building block. And on top of that, you add heter mitzaref isur, which means that even when something is not totally asur, it has a mixture of isur and heter together, we still view it as if the entire object is asur. So the Tosafot, that is very easy to understand. For Tosafot before we had Tam Ki Gar means that whatever the flavor is given, we look at the flavor if it's alive, if it's extant, and therefore we measure the volume of how much flavor is given, and therefore there's a kazayit worth of that flavor in the object, it becomes asur. Heter mitzarf the isur says that not only is the flavor or that which is flavored asur, but even the heter that is mixed in with it also becomes asur. Or in essence, what Rashi said about Tam Ki Ikar, for Tosafot is heter mitzarf the isur. For Tosafot, now the bread that is soaked in wine, not only is the Isur, the Tam that's there, problematic, but the bread itself that has the Tam mixed in with it, that is, together, also becomes Asur, and that's what Heter Mitzarif LeIsur is for the Balei Tosafot. For Rashi already says that when it comes to Tam Ki Ikar, not only is the flavor problematic, but even the bread that is giving it heft or quantity or volume is also Asur, then for Rashi, Heter Mitzarif LeIsur is when you have these items be separate. So Rashi gives examples here. Achal chatzi kazayit chelev, chatzi kazayit basar. He has half a kazayit of basar, half a kazayit of chelev, and he eats them together bevat achat, in one shot. Or later on, Rashi says about chametz, in a case where you have a chatzi zayit of kometz, of seor, and you have a chatzi kazayit of matzah, and you eat them bevat achat, even though they're not mixed together, there we say heter mitzaref leisur. That which is heter becomes a part and parcel of the isur. Over here, Rav Chanan Wasserman, the Kovetz Shurim, tries to explain the principle behind these positions of Rashi and Tosafot. Tosafot believes that you have to consume a kazayit worth of isur. And therefore, we're always looking for the isur. The isur can either be in tam, it can be in the flavor, or if you hold heter mitzarif the isur, when the isur and the heter are mixed together, then the whole bundle becomes a bundle of isur. And therefore, when you consume it, you have a kazayit worth of isur that you've consumed, and therefore you are chayav. On the other hand, Rashi views it here, or the threshold of kazayit is just about how much you need to eat in order to be in violation. What you eat is then determined by the rules. One of them is tam ki ikar, the other one is heter mitzarif leisur. And what heter mitzarif leisur comes to teach you is that even though you've consumed a kazayit worth of food, and that food is comprised of half a kazayit of basar and half a kazayit of isur, nevertheless, because you consumed a kazayit, and within that kazayit you had isur, then you've now consumed a kazayit worth of food that has isur in it, and therefore you're going to be chayav for it. So that the heter, according to Rashi, just adds to get to the threshold amount you need to be chayav. Whereas for Tosafot, the heter becomes part and parcel of the isur because they're completely mixed together, and that's how it works to be heter mitzarif leisur. So now, beginning the Gemara over here, Amar Rabbi Abo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, kol isurim shebetorah ein heter mitzarif leisur chutz misurei nazir. Rabbi Yochanan comes along and teaches us that this concept of heter mitzarif leisur is very unique. It only applies to the world of a nazir, doesn't apply broadly to all of the isurim of the Torah. Sherevei amra Torah. By the Nazir, it uses the terminology Mishrat, where it says about the Nazir, Miyayim v'sheichar yazir, chomet yayim v'chomet sheichar lo yishteh, v'chomishmat anavim lo yishteh. So the Mishrat that we're speaking about over here is not just wine product itself, because that would be obvious that it is asur, you wouldn't need the pasuk to tell you that. Ela, it must be, but it is something that has been soaked in the wine. And so we see from that, that the heter also is mitzareif to the isur. According to Tosafot, that means that if they're mu'urav, if they're mixed together very well, then the heter and the isur become like one. And since they are now one, the heter now can be added to the isur to reach the threshold of kazayit of isur. As for Rashi, it simply means that if you have a half kazayit of isur, half kazayit of heter, when you eat that kazayit, it's now problematic because you ate it together in one shot. The heter helps you meet the threshold of a kazayit, and the isur still remains an isur because Mishrat tells you that any isur or any amount of isur is sufficient to make you chayav as long as you clear the threshold of eating a kizayit. Ziri Amar. Ziri says, why do you have to limit it to the world of Nazir? Afso or bal taktiru. Also, when it comes to the din by a mincha, where it says, Kikhol sevar v'chol devash lo titenu mimenu ishe la'ashem, that we learned in Masechet Minachot, that when you bring a mincha, there's a restriction against allowing it to become seor, allowing it to become leavened, or adding devash to it. The Gemara says, come on, who does Waziri say this like? Ki Rabbi Eliezer de Darishko. From yesterday's daf, we know that there was a machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Eliezer with regards to kol machmetzet lo tochelu, as to what the kol adds for you. According to the Chachamim, the kol, they're not doresh. Tosafot already indicated that that is only when there's no svara to say so. So Rabbi Eliezer darshan the word kol, the chachamim did not darshan the word kol. Then we saw also that there was kikol, and even though the chachamim don't darshan kol, they do darshan kikol. Therefore, they included women in the mitzvah of matzah, as well as in the mitzvah of isur chametz. And Rabbi Eliezer not only included women, but also said that chametz ayidei tarovet is asur. And we learned that out from the word kol, and then we saw at the end of yesterday's daf, kikol sevar v'chol devash lo titenu mimenu ishe la'ashem. And so we saw that the word kol and kikol were darshined by Rabbi Eliezer. And the Braita showed us over there that we thought only kulo, only the whole item, would be problematic if it was seor, that it said kol, to tell you even mitzato, even a portion of it. And from there, Rashi claims that we learn out the din of heter mitzarf le'isur by seor, from the fact that mitzato, even a portion of it, is problematic. And that's Rashi, the shitato, that you don't need the whole thing to be isur, you only need a portion of it to be isur. Tosafot says we learn it out from the next limud in the Braita, which is that eruvo minayin, how we know that a mixture is also asur, ki kol. And therefore, the Balei Tosafot think that the way that Heter Mitzarf Le'isur works is because of Kikol or Eruvo, that it's all mixed together. So now, what Ze'iri is pointing out is that if you're learning out Mishrat to teach you Heter Mitzarf Le'isur by a Nazir, I think that it also has application by Seor, or the Kometz of the Mincha that's put on the Mizbeach. And that's because the Pasuk says, Kikol, Seor, Bechol, Devash, Lo Tiktiru, Mimenu, Ishel Hashem. And that Kol, or Kikol, is a riboy that also includes heter mitzaref li isur. Where it says, ihochi, if that's the Iri's view, linin chametz bepesach nami. Why does he limit that view to simply seor by a mincha? It should have application by chametz and pesach as well. Because there we have kol machmetzet lo tochelu. And so too over there you have the limud of kol, which would also include an eruv. And therefore it should also have heter mitzaref li isur. Where it says, enochanami, that he does think that as well. And he thinks actually that it applies not only to Nazir, not only to Kometz of a Mincha, but also to Chametz and Pesach. And the Maram Chalawa seem to indicate that he thinks it applies to all Yisurim Shibetorah. Because there it says, Kol Machmetzet Lo Tochelu. And according to Tosafot, that works well because if the Kol teaches you that Al Eruvo, in a mixture you are Chayav, and it also teaches Heter Mitzarev Lisur, then it makes sense. And that's one of his challenges to Rashi. As to how to Rashi, if he thinks it derives from Mixato, over here you don't have Mixato by Kol Machmetz Lo Tochelu, because you only have one Ribuy, not two Ribuyim. So then, why is it that he only mentions Seor, and he doesn't mention Chametz B'Pesach? Gemara says, La Fuke Mida Baye. He made the comment by the Kometz of the Mincha in particular, to tell us that the view of Abaye is discarded here. The Amar Yesh Haktara LePachot MiKezayit, who says that you can have a Kometz that is less than a Kezayit. Kamash Malan, from this you would conclude, Haktara Lav LePachot MiKezayit. There is no such thing as putting on a Haktara that's less than a Kezayit. What the Gemara is referencing to here is a Machloket Rava and Abaye in the Gemara Minachot with regards to a Kometz. A Kometz that's brought, we said over before, that you're chayav if you bring a kometz that's made from seor. Then we said that there's a ribuy in the pasuk that says, ki kol seor, v'chol dokmash lo tikdenu min Hashem. We saw from kol, that means afilu mikzato. So machloket as to what it means, afilu mikzato. Even a portion of it. Depends on what a whole is to know what the mikzato is. Rava believes that the minimum shiur of a kometz, a person's fistful, when they take it out of the mincha, to be makrivit, will never be less than two zeitim, will never be less than two olives worth. And therefore, mixato, a portion of it, would always meet the minimum threshold of a kezayit. And therefore, according to Rava, you're only chayav for a kometz of seor if it is at least a kezayit in size. Abaye says that that's not true necessarily. You can have a kometz, somebody's hand that's smaller, that won't reach two zeitim, won't be the size of two olives. And therefore, when the pasuk says kol, comes to include mixato, even a portion of it means even less than a kezayit. So according to Abaye, there is no threshold shiur for being chayav for seor. So according to Abaye, the din of heter mitzarf le'isur is not necessary because you don't need any threshold shiur of isur. Given that you don't need to meet the threshold of kezayit, then heter mitzarf le'isur is meaningless. And so Ze'iri, who comes along and tells us that heter mitzarf le'isur applies not only to the dinim of Nazir, but also applies to a kometz from a mincha, is telling us the information that there is a minimum threshold you must meet. And that threshold is a kezayit. That's only true according to Rova,
who says that when you say miksato, a portion of it, that means at least a kazayit worth. I mean, that's the threshold in order to violate the din of seor by komets. Then you can understand why you would need heter mitzraf leisur, because you need the heter to make up or to reach that threshold shi'ur. And that's what Zairi came to tell us when he specified heter mitzraf leisur applies not only to the nazir, but also to the komets, to tell us that the locha is like rova. And then the Tosafot in Menachot says the same thing in the reverse, which is that rova also has to hold like Zairi. Because we saw before that there were two ribuim by the komets. There's one which is kol, that teaches you afilu mitzato. And then you have ki kol, which teaches you afilu eruvo. And according to Abai, we have an understanding why you would need to tell us that the eruv is asur, is because according to Abai, the threshold amount can be below a kezayit. And if it's so small, the isur, maybe it would be batel to the heter that's there. Along comes the pasuk and says, eruvo, even a mixture is problematic. But according to Rava, whereby you're speaking about a full kazayit worth of problem here, even when you're talking about mixato, it's a full kazayit, then why would you think it should be batel? You have something of significance over here. Ella, it must be that we're speaking about now a chatzi kazayit of isur, that's mitzaref to a chatzi kazayit of heter, and it's heter mitzaref l'isur, like Zairi says over here. And that way, Rava now has a reason or to wait to explain that brayta as to what the problem is with Eruvo. So there is a mutualism between Rava's Shita and Zairi's Shita, both that the necessity for Heter Mitzarf Isur to have a minimum threshold Shiur, which Rava claims is a Kazayit, and the other way around, Rava, who thinks that it is a minimum Shiur of Kazayit, then why do you need a Riboy for Eruvo for a mixture? It's because a mixture would then be less than a Kazayit, and you would need Heter Mitzarf Isur to include it. And so therefore, Zairi argues on Rabbi Yochanan's position here that Heter Mitzarf Isur is a unique din with regards to Nazir. And it applies at least to Seor by Komets and by Chametz bePesach. But he only mentioned the din of Seor because he wanted to be afuke to exclude that position of Abaye, but not to say that it doesn't also have occasion by Chametz. And maybe according to some of the Rishonim, even by other Isurim Shebetorah. Now Rabbi Yochanan does not believe that it applies to Seor, nor does he think it applies to Chametz, because he's not Doresh, the word Kol. And even though Rabbi Yochanan in other places is Doresh, the word Kol, including in the final perek of Yoma, where he says that Kol comes to teach you that Chatzi Shi'ur is Asur Min HaTorah, that's because over there he's only Doresh Li'isura, to tell you that the Chatzi Shi'ur is Asur. But he would not say from the word kol that you get malkot, which is what we're suggesting over here, according to Rabbi Eliezer, that if you have an eruv of chametz and a zairi who is also following this shita of Rabbi Eliezer, then if you have a mixture of chametz and matzah together, you still get malkot for it. That Rabbi Yochanan doesn't subscribe to. Or others want to suggest that even the chachamim and Rabbi Yochanan over here believe that when it comes to kol machmetz lo tochelu, that even though there is no malkot for it, if there is a chatzi shiur be'en, there will be an iser min haTorah that exists, because that would be a sur in any iser of the Torah, not just by chametz, and therefore it's not unique to chametz, it's something that's common to all iserim shebetorah, but it wouldn't have application to chametz nuksha, and the eruv would have to have the chametz be'en, and not simply have the chametz mixed in, where it cannot be discerned. And so therefore there are ways for Rabbi Yochanan to darshan chatzi shiur being asur, and yet still have the opinion here that chametz yedei tarovet is not chayav malkot. Now yotiv Rav Dimi, v'kamar l'hashmaitato. So Rav Dimi now says over this machloket that we have between Rabbi Yochanan and Zairi. So amalei Abaye the Rav Dimi. So when Rav Dimi saying this over, Abaye now starts to challenge that. It says, v'chol yisurim shebetorah, ein heter mitzarf leisur. Is that really true that this din of en heter mitzvah isur does not have broader application to other isurim in the Torah? Basically challenging Rabbi Yochanan's position. Vatanan, don't we have a Mishnah in Tvul Yom that says hamikpeh, which is some sort of viscous porridge, something that has some heft to it in terms of a cooked item, shel truma, and that was made out of truma, so say they used grains of truma to make this mikpeh. V'ashum v'ashemen shechulin, and it is flavored with garlic and oil, but the garlic and oil are chulin, they're not made of truma. A tvul yom is a sheni lituma, and a tvul yom can affect truma, because truma can accept tum'ah up to a level 3, to a shlishi lituma. So Tvo Yom that touches Truma is posel the Truma. If he touches Chulin, it has no impact. Now, Benaga Tvo Yom b'miksatan. And the Tvo Yom touched, not the Mikpeh necessarily, because it says here, not Miksata, which would be modifying the Mikpeh, but rather Miksatan. He touched either the Shum or the Shemen of Chulim there, Pasalit Kulan. He affects the entire pot, the entire porridge there, and makes it Tameh. Va-Mikpeh, Shel Chulin, Va-Shum, Va-Shemen, Shel Truma. If the circumstances are reversed, which is that the porridge or the oatmeal was chulin, and then the flavoring of the shum and the shemen were of truma, nagal truma tvoyom b'miksatan, and then the tvoyom touches any of those items, lo pasal ala makom mag'o bilvad. He only affects the area where he touched. He doesn't affect the entire pot that is there. Va'binamba. And we asked about that. Makom mag'o amai psula. Why, where he touched, whether it was the shemen or the shum that he touched that were made out of truma, why does he impact them? Habtele luhu letavlin berov. Those spices are batel berov. You have rov of heta here, clearly, rov of chulin, that are bimvatel, the spices of truma. And therefore, why should the touching of the tvul yom of these objects of truma have any impact? The other way around, we understand, where you have the rov being the truma, and the minority or the small amount being the chulin, then we view the whole thing as being truma. Therefore, the tvul yom touches any part of it, he affects the entirety of the pot. On the other hand, when it is the chulin that's the majority, why should he have any impact at all? Amar Rabba Bar Chano. Rabba Bar Chano explains why it is that when he touches the shum or the shemen, that it's impactful. Hoyo, the zar lokeh lehem bekezayit. If a zar was to consume a kezayit worth of the truma here, he would get malkot, hechidami. How is it possible that he consumes a kezayit over here? You're talking about chulin, the porridge or the oatmeal, a large amount that is chulin. And then you have the spices, which are the garlic and the oil, which are dispersed throughout this dish. And now you're going to consume a kezayit worth of these items. How do you have a kezayit worth of these items? And even though you could have said, oh, maybe he will pick out a kezayit worth of the shum, or kezayit worth of the oil from there and eat it, and that's why it has significance, the Bali Tosafot say that ein derech achila b'kach. That's not the normal way to consume such an item, and therefore that's not going to be influential in saying that it's batel or not batel over here. La mishum deheter mitztarfli sur. Must be because of this concept of heter mitztarfli sur, that the heter that is, according to Tosafot, mixed in with the isur, therefore it takes on the properties of the Isur, and that makes it that the Heter and Isur together get you to your threshold Isur of Kazayit. According to Rashi, they could even be separate. You have the Heter and the Isur there, but you're consuming a Kazayit worth, and you meet the threshold Achila, and it has Isur in it, and therefore that's why the Shemen and the Shum retain their status as Truma, because they are impactful in somebody who is a foreigner, meaning non-Kohen, consuming this item, getting malkot for it. Therefore, they have significance, and they're not batel to the chulin. They're not batel to the chulin. When you touch them, the tuma impacts on those items in particular, even though they should have been batel, but they're given significance by the fact that someone who consumes will have be chayav malkot, consuming them improperly because he's a non-kohen. The Gemara says, look, my kezayit, what does it mean that he consumed the kezayit here? De'ika kezayit b'kedei achilat pras. Person's able to consume a kezayit worth of isur, or in our case, it's a zar, non-kohen, consuming truma, and he can aggregate in the amount that he consumes a kezayit worth of isur, in the amount of time it would take to consume achilat pras, and in that way, he's going to be chayav malkot. So achilat pras, you might remember from Sechet Eruvin, refers to the two su'udot that one needs for an eruv, and over there, the chachamim were mishaer that the two su'udot are made up or comprised of a single loaf of bread. And that single loaf of bread is a totality of 8 beitzim, 8 eggs worth of bread. If you split it in half, you get 4 beitzim for each si'uda. And pras means half. So when it comes to the threshold amount, this is din by negaim, that a person who enters into a house that has a nega in it, he becomes tamei immediately. And if he tarries in the house, the amount of time it takes him to consume achilat pras, then not only does he become tamei, but his clothing also becomes tamei. And that is the threshold amount for considering to be a normal amount of time to consume or eat. And so therefore, that threshold is used for any type of Easter in the Torah, as Rashi says, whether it's the Easterim of kezayit, of consumption of chelev, basar b'chalav, kotevet of Yom HaKippurim, eating the amount of a fat date on Yom Kippur that makes it that you've violated the Isser of Inui. All those items have to consume within a time threshold that it would take someone to finish a si'uda. And the Gemara gives all the qualifications of what type of si'uda is and how he does this, but the amount or the quantity that he needs to consume in that period of time is 4 beitzim, according to Rashi, which is a si'uda. According to the Rambam, the 2 si'udot are 6 beitzim, and the 1 si'uda is 3 beitzim, but we'll go with Rashi's shita that it's 4 beitzah. And assuming that 4 beitzim are roughly around 2 zeitim each, that means that you have 8 zeitim in the amount of food that you consume. If within those 8 zeitim aggregated there's a kazayit worth of isur, then you're going to be chayav and get malkot for it, which is called kazayit b'gedei achilat pras. The consumption of kazayit of isur, the amount of time that you would eat a pras, and that will give you then malkot. And that's what gives significance over here. It's not because of the din of hetem itzarf isur, rather because of this aggregating force called B'gdei Achilat Pras, that you have in order to violate any Isur, you don't have to consume the Kazayit immediately. You have the amount of time to consume it is over a span of time called B'gdei Achilat Pras, the amount of time it would take you to eat or consume 4 Beitzah. Or if you consume 4 Beitzah worth of any food, and within those 4 Beitzahs contain a Kazayit worth of Isur, then you're going to be in violation. And been doing that, you've now given significance to those dispersed shum and shemen in the porridge or oatmeal. And therefore, they're not batel. If they're not batel, that's why when the Tevul Yom touches them, they become tameh. Now Rashi, in explaining this, suggests that this has to do with a concept called dimua. Dimua is when chulin and shuma get mixed together. Rashi suggests that according to the Havamino of the Gemara, over here, dimua is only midrabanan. That midoraita, truma is batel birov. That you have rov chulin, that's enough to take out the truma, and as if the truma does not exist. Midrabanan, we say such a mixture is asur for a zar to eat. That's only rabbinic in nature, not mina Torah. And so therefore, what's the only reason that there is significance to the truma that is subsumed in this large quantity of chulin? Can't be because of dimua, because we said that's only a dindrabanan. Midoraita, it's batel birov. And therefore, the only reason it would be asur is because of heter mitzarf lisur. Along comes Rabbi Bar Chanan and says, no, that dimua is midoraita. A mixture is a problem midoraita. And the reason that a zar gets makot over here is because there is still shame truma on this item. As long as he consumes it within b'gdei achilat pras, then it's going to be problematic for him. He's going to get makot for it. Balei Tosafot are not so happy with this explanation because they say that this issue of dimua, whether a mixture is a problem midrabanan or midoraita, is a separate machloket that is brought in the Mishnayot explicitly. And if you believe that miduma is problematic, it shouldn't just make the part or the location problematic, it should make the whole thing problematic when you touch it. And vice versa, if you think it's not problematic, it should not make the whole thing nor that location problematic. And therefore, he favors the view of the Rabbeinu Tam, that the case here is where the shum and the shemen are not mixed in, but they're be'en, they're still extant there. And the girsa that he has in the Gemara is mekoma go'o amai pasal. Why is the area where you touch problematic? Halohavi kebetza. It's not the size of a kebetza. This goes back to something we just saw earlier in the Masechta. In order for food items to be mekabel tuma, there is a view, and the Rabbeinu Tam subscribed to this, that you need at least a minimum of a kebetza worth of ochel in order to be mekabel tuma. And over here, you don't have a kebetza in a single location of the shum and the shemen, and therefore why should it be mekabel tuma from a tvul yom? And therefore, if the tuma here being conveyed is going to only be drabonon, because you didn't meet that threshold of a kebetza, it's only a din drabonon, it should be batel to the chulin that is there. So along comes the Gemara's first option to say that heter mitzarf liisur, says that there is significance to this item, and it's not batel because of heter mitzarf liisur, or in the conclusion, because of kazayit v'chtei achilat pras. And therefore, according to Rashi, since Rabbi Bar Chana says that this item has significance in the Kedei Achilat Pras world, therefore, if you touch it, it becomes Tamei. And according to the Balei Tosafot, since it has significance in the world of Achilah, it's not Batel, we would say even though it doesn't have a Kebetza and accepts Tumah Midrabanan, that it's not Batel because of this significance with regards to Achilah. Now the Gemara says, Ukzayit B'Kedei Achilat Pras Do'oraitoi? Your assumption now is that this Kedei Achilat Pras, this eating Kazayit or consuming Kazayit within Kedei Achilat Pras, is a Torah law. Because you're suggesting now that the reason that the Truma is not Batela inside of the Chulin is because of this significance, which means that this is a Torah principle according to Rashi, because then Dimura is Deoraita. according to the Baal Tosafot, because then there's no bitul anymore because of the significance of the item. Amalayin, he says that's the case. So Abaye then says back to Rav Dimi, if you think that Zayit B'Kdei Achila Pras is Doraita, help me understand, if that's the case, that Kazai B'Dei Achila Pras is a problem, then why did the Rabbanon argue on Rabbi Eliezer B'Kutach Chabavli? When it comes to the dip that we mentioned in the Mishnah, that Rabbi Eliezer says is problematic because of Kol Machmetzet Lo Tochelo, which is that it is Chametz Ayidei Tarovet, why do the Chachamim disagree? Okay, they don't hold of Heter Mitztarif Le'Isur. They don't hold of Chiyuv Re'ei Ruv for a mixture of chametz. They should still make you chayav because you consume a kazayit worth of bread that is embedded inside of this dip in the amount of time it takes to consume a chilei pras. So now, Rabbi Dimi retorts to Abaye and says, Elamai, shum heter mitzav l'isur? You want to suggest that the reasoning of that Mishnah in Tvul Yom is because of heter mitzav l'isur? So, for my pligi Rabbanan alei, Rabbi Lezer b'kutach habavli. Why do the Chachamim disagree then with Rabbi Lezer by kutach habavli? So that's a little bit of a strange question, because we already established that Heter Mitztarif L'Isur is only a position, according to Ze'iri, for Rabbi Eliezer. It's not something that the Chachamim subscribe to. And if the Chachamim don't subscribe to, we could easily explain the difference in their opinion, that Rabbi Eliezer subscribes to Heter Mitztarif L'Isur, and therefore it has significance in this case, whereas the Chachamim do not subscribe to it. And that would be an easy answer for Abaye. For that reason, the Baal HaTosafot take this out of the Girsah and say that this question is not a question, because Abaye can explain this very easily. Tosafot brings a second explanation, which is that, according to Abaye, even the Chachamim agreed to Heter Mitztarif L'Isur. The difference between them and Rabbi Eliezer is, what is the threshold amount you need for Heter Mitztarif L'Isur? And that is that, according to the Chachamim, the Isur must be either half the amount or the rove of the amount in order for Heter Mitztarif L'Isur to apply. On the other hand, Rabbi Eliezer believes that even if it is a minority of the aggregated amount, it still has a din of Heter Mitztarif L'Isur, and that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer that the Chachamim don't subscribe to. So again, that's an easy explanation for Abaye as to the distinction between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim, and why the Chachamim don't think Kutach HaBavli is Chayav. Now, according to Rashi's Girsa that leaves it in, the assumption here is that the Chachamim do subscribe to Heter Mitztarif L'Isur, either because we're going to see later on, there's a sheet of Rabbi Akiva that maybe extrapolates it from Nazir to the rest of the Torah, or because we also find it by Kodoshim, even though maybe you wouldn't extrapolate from Kodoshim to Chulim, maybe there is a Deah that does that. If that's the case, that there is Heter Mitztarif L'Isur for the Chachamim as well, then Abaye also can't draw a distinction. And that's what Rav Dimi is challenging Abaye with, although it then is strange. Why would Abaye challenge Rav Dimi with something that he himself can't explain according to his own Shita? And that's why the Tosafot's explanation seems much more plausible. Ella, so Rav Dimi says back to Abaye, Hanach l'kutach habavli, tleit bei kazayit b'achilat pras. It's not a problem. Kutach habavli doesn't meet this threshold. You can't have a kazayit worth of bread in this dip that meets the threshold of a kazayit in the amount of time it would take to consume a kedei achilat pras for beitza. I be'enei kasarif v'ka'achilei. If you gulp the kudach habavli down, meaning that you gulp this dip down, just plain, betela da'atei etzel kol adam. We say that this person is crazy. That's not the normal way to consume this. And therefore either, yes, this person might be chayav because he did it, but from there, we're not going to then say that normally people are chayav for eating kutach habavli, because that's not the normal way to eat it. Or maybe even this person himself is not chayav for eating like that, because that's not called achila. That's not called eating. It's a very pungent, sharp type of dip that people don't just gulp down. You have to eat it together with something that mitigates that pungency, and therefore eating it in this manner is considered to be not normal. If he uses it as a dip or spreads it on the item that he's dipping into it, he's never going to, within the consumption of the dip of four beitza, he's never going to get to a kazayit, either because there isn't enough bread in four beitza worth of the dip, or in order to consume a kazayit worth of bread from the dip, it's going to take him much more than kedei achilat pras. Because of its strength or its pungency, the dip doesn't get consumed in that type of speed or expediency. And as Rashi points out, the same will be true of Shechar Hamadi, where most of it is made of date beer,
and then they add in the barley to it. And therefore, even when you drink the requisite amount of beer in the amount of time it would take to consume four beitzah, you still would not have consumed in that period of time a kazayit worth of chametz. That is why, according to the Chachamim, according to Rav Dimi, who hold of this din of kazayit v'dei achilat pras, there still is no malkot for kutach chabavli or shechar amadi, even though, again, Rabbi Eliezer will think that there is malkot because of heter mitzdarif lisur. So now, eight of eight, Abaye continues to challenge Rav Dimi about this idea of kidei achilat pras being midoraita. Shtei kederot, a person has two pots, chad shel chulim or chad shel truma. One contains chulin in it, one contains truma in it. V'lifnehem shtei maduchot. And right in front of them are two pestle and mortars that are used to crush items. A chad shel chulim, one of them contains chulin and a chad shel truma. V'naflu elu tochelu. And the maduchot that contain smaller amounts fall into the kearot that contain larger quantities. Mutarim. Shani omer, because I assume truma l'toch truma nafla. The truma that was in the mill, or in the pestle and mortar, fell into the keara of truma. And similarly, the chulin to chulin naflu. Now, Iyamart, if you want to tell me kazayit b'dei achilat pras is doraita, that if you consume a kazayit within the amount of time of a pras of four beitzah, that it's a doraita problem, amayam rinan shani omer truma l'toch truma nafla and chulin l'toch chulin nafla. How can you make such an assumption? If there's a possibility that you could be in violation doraita, for instance, if the truma here fell into the bigger chulin, so yes, it's batel, but even though it's batel, you could, in the amount of time it takes to eat a pras, four beitzah, you could have consumed in that time a kazayit worth of truma that had fallen in there. If that's a possibility, then you can't make these assumptions and say, oh, we'll go l'kula. If it's all a din d'rabbanan, then the rabbanan can say, we'll go l'kula in this and assume that the chulin fell into the chulin, the truma fell into the truma. But if this is a problem d'oraita, you can't make assumptions like that and risk the person violating a din d'oraita when they consume this item. They consume four beitzah, which is about eight zeitim worth, and within that eight zeitim, there's a kazayit worth of truma, like one-eighth of it is truma. That's going to be problematic. Midoraita, and how could you allow such things to happen? So Balei, Rav Dimi says back to Abaye, anach the truma tavlin, dirabanan. That's not a problem, because we're talking about truma of spices, and truma of spices is only a rabbinic issue. And since it's only a rabbinic issue, then they can be mekil over here, even though kdei achilat pras, the concept is doraita. Over here we're dealing with truma dirabanan. And since it's truma dirabanan, we can be mekil and say, or assume, that the chulin fell into the chulin and the truma fell into the truma, because midoraita it's batel berov, and therefore the truma that fell into the chulin is really batel. Midrabanan you might have worried about it from the mua. Over here we're going to make the assumption that the truma fell into the truma and the chulin fell into the chulin. And as Tosafot points out, even though before when the Gemara brought the Mishnah in Tful Yom, it spoke about spices like shum, like garlic, and it said over there that when the Tful Yom touches it, it makes it tamei. And why is it that there, the Truma Tavlin, there seems to have a din that it is still extant, and over here we're saying that it is Batel. So Tosafot over here says Yesh Lechalek.
Tosafot in Nazir and Daf Lamed Vav suggests that the distinction is that by the case of Shum that we said before, when it says Hol Vizar Lokeh Lav Bikizayit, Lav Tav Kanakad Lokeh, that's not really that he gets Makot, that's Truma Shum Midrabanan. Hachikamar Hol Vizar Lokeh Lav Bikizayit, Ilu Aita Truma Doraita. Had it been Truma Doraita, a Zar would have gotten Malkot for this. Therefore, Dinu Lakshiva. Therefore, it has significance. V'luit Batel Agava Mikpeh. And therefore, it won't become Batel to the larger porridge or oatmeal over there, the Shum. But then over here too, the Truma Tavlim Dirabanan should not be Batel, because had it been Doraita, it would have been problematic of Kazayit G'dei Achilat Pras. So maybe you could distinguish and say over there, the case of the Shum, it's Be'en, and it's also Notain Tam. And therefore, had it been Truma Doraita, that would have had significance, therefore it's not Batel. Whereas over here, we're dealing with Yavesh, dry things with other dry things, and therefore there is no Tam. It's also not clear that you can distinguish it or discern it. And therefore it is Batel, even though had it been Doraita, it would have been a problem. Kazayi b'gdei achilat pras.
Eight of eight, this is a Tosefta from Truma that we saw earlier in the Masechta, back on Daf Tehet Amud Bet. Shtei kupot, you have two baskets. Achad shel chulin v'achad shel truma. One of them has chulin, one of them has truma in it. Lifneihem bet sa'in. In front of them are two smaller measures of a sa'a. Achad shel chulin v'achad shel truma. As Rashi points out, when you're talking about kupot, you're talking about large quantities of items. So you can't be speaking about spices anymore. You must be speaking about items that are like grains. And grains are chayav in truma midoraita. And talking about Truma Doraita over here, the Tosefta still says, Nafloelo Tochelu, Mutarin. We say that when they fall into each other, Mutar. Shani Omer Chulin, the Tochulin Naflu, Truma Lotoch Truma Nafla. And again, Abai says, Yamar Kazayit Bagdei Achilei Pras Doraita, this concept is a Torah concept. Amai Amrina and Shani Omer. How can I apply this Kula to say, I assume the Truma fell into the Truma, the Chulin fell into the Chulin, because it's really Batel Mi Doraita. If you believe that the concept of consuming a Kazayit within a Gdei Achilei Pras is Doraita, that would make it that if you consume this chulin, and within the time of Kdei Achilei Pras, consuming four beitzah, you consume the kazayit worth of truma, you'd be chayav d'oraita. And how can a chachamim make such a assumption and go to kula? Samalei, hanach l'truma b'zman hazeh d'rabbanan. That's dealing with truma b'zman hazeh. And truma hazeh is d'rabbanan. That is a machloket rishonim as to whether really truma b'zman hazeh is d'rabbanan. According to those rishonim that really believe that truma b'zman hazeh is d'rabbanan, it's easy to understand. According to those, like the Meiri and others that think that Truma B'Zman HaZeh might be Do'oraita, it means Truma B'Zman HaZeh D'Rabbanan means it's from locations that are only Truma B'Zman HaZeh D'Rabbanan. For instance, areas that were conquered in the time of the Beit Rishon by Yoshua, but were not conquered or not settled in the time of Ezra. So those are areas that only have Truma D'Rabbanan, not Truma D'Oraita. And therefore, since we're dealing with Truma D'Rabbanan, we can be Mekil over here. Now, those wrote questions why Abaye even has questions from these Breitot, these Mishnayot and Breitot over here, because we believe that min b'mino d'oraita is batel. Over here you have the min of the truma falling into the chulin, which are the same item, and we're saying they're batel mi d'oraita. So why can't the chachamim be mekil? Forget about kedei achilei pras d'oraita. Doesn't matter. It's batel mi d'oraita. So Tosafot says that the Mishnayot or the Breitot here don't say it's only talking about a case of min b'mino. Makes it suggest that's even at min sheino mino. Whether it was wheat flour and barley flour, and they can't be distinguished, and one fell into the other. So even it's min she'eno mino, still seems to be that the chachamim would be mekil. And there, it would not necessarily be batel mi d'oraita, and it would apply the din of kazayit b'gdei achilei pras. Or Tosafot in Nazir makes the suggestion that even if it's min b'mino, at least the chachamim should have been machmir here, if kazayit b'gdei achilei pras is d'oraita, to say that min b'mino should have the same din as min she'eno mino, and not make it batel. Whereas the Rosh Mishantz and the Rabbeinu David both make the suggestion that even b'min b'mino, kazayit b'dei achilei pras would cause you a problem and not allow it to be batel. And that's because it's ra'ui lehitzteref. Since it has the power to be aggregated and become something of significance, it's no longer batel. So why is it that we're mekil? So those are the answers that we gave, that we're always dealing with issurim derabanan, either truma on tavlin on spices, which is only derabanan, or truma bizman hazeh, which is also derabanan. Now the Gemara goes back to this idea that v'hai mishrat, v'hochi hu da'ato? Is that what this word mishrat, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, who suggests over here that mishrat is a specific din in Nazir, that we have heter mitzaref li'isur, how does he use the word mishrat to teach you that? V'hami bo'yilei l'kdanyo. We need that mishrat for a different din, and again, we would have given precedence to this din because this din is a simpler concept, which is the Tanya Mishrat, Litain, Tam, Ki Ikar. This is what we discussed in the introduction. The other concept of Heter Nisu over here, which is that when something flavors something, we look at it as if it's mamashut, if it is really there, even though there's no item, be'en, that is extant anymore, tangible anymore. Nevertheless, the flavor conveyed is enough to make it into something that is asur. Jim Sharab, anavim b'mayim, someone soaked grapes in water, and then you took the grapes out, so the grapes are no longer there, v'yesh bem tam yayin, and then the water has a residual flavor from the grapes that were in it that make it taste like a wine or a grape juice. Chayav, you're chayav for that just because of the tam of the isur. And again, here we discussed before the machlok between Rashi and Tosafot as to whether the tam then makes everything that the tam is inside of also asur, like Rashi says over here. He says, "Vala mishum hetem itzav the isur." That's not because of hetem itzav the isur that you're chayav. El mishum dit aved le kule isur. You make everything into the isur, which is that according to Rashi, tam ki ikar, if something's flavored, it makes everything that's flavored and everything that is a part and parcel of that mixture into isur.
According to the Rosh Mishantz in Tvul Yom,
means that wherever it's flavored, it has a din of isur. Wherever it's not flavored, it's still heter, and then that will only be captured by heter mitzaref li'isur. Mikanata dan l'chol ha'Torah kula. And from this din of tam ki ikar that we learned by nazir, you can extrapolate it to the remainder of the Torah. Ma nazir, when it comes to azir, she'en yisuro isur olam, it's not a permanent isur. We'll go with Rashi right now, which means that when you take a neder nizirut, it has a time expiry to it, which is that if you don't say anything, it expires in 30 days, or if you set a time, it expires at that time, as long as it's greater than 30 days. Vein isuro isura na'a, and the isur of Nazir, with regards to grape products, is not an isur bana, it's only an isur achila. He can get benefit from grape products, he just can't consume grape products. V'yesh heter li'isuro. According to Rashi, heter li'isuro means that you can go to a chacham to be matir the neder nizirut, so even in your nizirut, you can upend it or undermine it. In that case, nevertheless, asabo tam ki ikar, the halacha is, or the Torah tells you that tam ki ikar, flavor, is as if it is the tangible item itself. Kilayim, which is isuro isur olam, is something that is a permanent isur. When you have kilea kerem that grow together, grains and a vineyard, so that's an isur that will remain forever, it will never be undone. Isuro isur ana, not as only it is an isur achila, but it's also an isur ana. Ve'en heter isuro, and there's no way to unwind or to change the fact that this is a sur, you can't do a hatarat nidarim that's going to change it. En odin shiaseh tam kikar, then certainly it has to have a din of tam kikar, just like the nazir has. Vu adin orla bishtayim. And so too, the din of orla has two of these items. According to Rashi, orla has the isur achila and isur hana, just like kilea kerem. It also has ein heter li isuro, because within the first 3 years, orla, fruits that grow on a tree, never become mutar. But isur olam it doesn't have, because after the first 3 years, it does produce fruit that are mutarim. So that's the way Rashi explains it. And based on that, we would say that it's a kal vachomer, whether it's kilea kerem, which has three things that are more chamor than nazir, or olam, which has two things that are more chamor than nazir, and all the other isurim in the Torah that have at least one aspect that is more asur than the nazir, then they're all going to have this din of tam ki ikar. But what you see from that is that tam ki ikar is what we learn from the word mishrat, and not this din of heter mitzvah the isur that Rabbi Yochanan suggested at the beginning of today's daf. Now, just to take a pause for a moment, the Balei Tosafot over here and many of the Rishonim disagree with Rashi, because Rashi says something that's very strange. Rashi says, well, en heter l'isuro, because the fruits in the first 3 years never can become mutar. But it's not an isur olam, because fruits that are produced in the fourth year are not permanent isur. But that's, he's mixing and matching. He's talking about the tree in one case and the fruits in the other case. The tree produces in the fourth year, yeah, fruits that are mutar. But that doesn't have to do with the fruits that were in the first 3 years. They are an isur olam. And therefore, the Balei Tosafot try to come up with different explanations for this distinction, as well as many of the other Rishonim. Tosafot, in defending Rashi, brings from the Ri the possibility that by Nazir and Chadash, they're not an isur olam, because Hagadel min hagefen, the things that grow on the vine, after his nizirut expires, there's no isur on it. And similarly, chadash, that grows after the omer is brought, that rooted before the omer, all that stuff that grows afterwards is also mutar, no isur applies to it. And the same thing is true by orla. After the 3 years elapse, anything that is produced by the tree, no isur impacts on it. So that way the Ri somewhat adjusts what Rashi is saying, but comes up with the same idea that the difference between Orla and Kilea Kerem is that Kilea Kerem, it's Isuro Olam. There's never going to be any time period where it's going to be Mutar. Over by the Orla, after the third year, it will be Mutar, meaning that there'll be a time that's elapsed whereby the Isur will no longer be applicable, just like by Nazir. There's a point in time in which the Isur will elapse and things that grow afterwards will not be problematic. That's not true by Kilea Kerem. No matter what grows afterwards, it will always be problematic. So that's the way that the Ri explains it. The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, says that what Orla has in common with Nazir, and not with Kilea Kerem, is that Bishnat Arba, in the fourth year, Yesh Heter Li Isuro. It's an Isur Olam, but there is a Heter Li Isuro. Because in the fourth year, you can redeem the items and bring them up to Yerushalayim. So there's a way to take that Isur off these fruits and put it onto something else, onto the money. The Isur, or the Din of Neter Revai, remains forever, but you can transfer it off this object. So that's why it has a heter le'isuro. And that's how he explains that Orla has two of the items. It has an isur olam, it has an isur hana'ah, but it does not have ein heter le'isuro, similar to the way that Nazir has a heter le'isuro. Then the Ri gives another explanation, which is prisha chadash nesar kvar, chadash that's already asur, and something that grew from the gefen before the nizirut was over. At some point, when the time period expires that you bring the Omer, or time period expires for the Nizirut, those items are going to have a heter. By Orla and Kilayim, the fruit that becomes a sur never ever has any heter.
Even after the 3 years expire, those fruits that grew in the first 3 years are not going to be released. And that is a little different than Rashi's heter l'Yisro, which is that you ask the Chacham, because asking the Chacham is oker the neder mi'ikaro, and it's as if the neder never existed. So you can't call that heter l'Yisro. So he explains that heter l'Yisro means that each of these items during the period of Yisur are asur, but once the period of Yisur elapses, they will become mutar. That's not true by Kilei Kerem. That's not true by Orla. And that's why Orla and Kilei Kerem do not have a heter l'Yisro, but they do have a distinction that Kilayim is Yisro Olam, whereas Orla is not Yisro Olam, as we already explained before, according to the reading, because we're speaking about the duration, meaning that things that grew after a certain point of the Yisur, they become like heter, and therefore it's not an Yisro Olam. There are two other explanations for this. One is that of the Rabbeinu Peretz, which makes a lot of sense here, which is that when it comes to all of these items, there is a right to create the Yisur. By Nazir, you have a right to take a neder in Zirut and make the wine or the grape products asur to you. By the Orla, you're allowed to plant the tree and have the item become asur for the first 3 years. By Chodosh, you're allowed to plant grains and then have the Omer be matir them afterwards. That's not true by Kilei Kerem, where there's an Isur creating this problem. You're not allowed to plant it. You're not allowed to create Kilei Kerem. And that's what the difference is. Kilei Kerem has that which the others don't have, which is it never has a heter. The other items have heter to them because you can create these sur. It's permissible to create these sur. It's even advisable to create these sur because that's the normal way that you engage in nature. Whereas by Kilei Kerem, it's a sur to even create the isur from the outset. Or the Imam Chaloa makes a suggestion that isuro isuro olam means, does it have application to Bnei Noach? Which is that all these surim over here only apply to Israel from the time of Matan Torah. Whereas Kilei Kerem is Kilayim, which is based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, is also a surah to Bnei Noach, is something that was an Isur Olam. And that's the way that he explains the distinction as to why Kilei Kerem has all three of these issues that make it more chamur, whereas Orla only has two, and that extra item that Kilei Kerem has, that it's Isur Olam, that also applies to Bnei Noach. So Mara says, that's not a problem. This steer between the Braita and Rabbi Yochanan's statement is not an issue, because Hamani Rabbonani, that's the sheet of the Rabbonan. The Rabbonan who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer and don't darshan the word ko, so they don't have this concept of heter mitzarf the Isur. But they do have the concept of tam ki ikar. Rabbi Yochanan amar ki Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Akiva that he thinks that there is not only a tam ki ikar Isur, but there's also heter mitzarf the Isur. And that's because he believes that tam ki ikar is learned from somewhere else, and therefore mishrat is available to teach you about heter mitzarf l'isur. Mar says, hey Rabbi Akiva, where do you find this Rabbi Akiva who says that heter mitzarf l'isur is problematic, that you're going to say this? Ilema Rabbi Akiva de matanitin, if you want to say it's Rabbi Akiva of our Mishnah in Nazir, that's not Rabbi Akiva Omer, Nazir shesharat pito b'yayin, Nazir that soaks his bread in wine, v'yesh ba litzaref kedei kezayit, and through that you can make up a kezayit chayav. You are chayav. So now it seems to be that you're aggregating whatever's there to make it into a kezayit. The assumption being that you have now bread and wine, and together they make up a kezayit of isur, which would be heter mitzarif li isur. Umimai. How do you know the mipatu miyayin? Who says that Rabbi Akiva is saying the way that you get to the threshold isur is a combination of the bread and the wine? Dilma miyayin luchudei. Maybe all he's saying is that tamki ikar, and that you get it from the yayin itself. Reaches that threshold of a kezayit. And even though yayin is a liquid, since you're dealing with a isur that's an isur of achila, we measure it by a kezayit, and Rashi tells us the way you do that is you put an olive into a full glass of wine, and you see how much is displaced, and then you know how much is a kezayit worth of wine. V'chitayim, if you want to suggest here, miyayin l'chudei, Rabbi Akiva is just telling you that from the yayin itself, you're going to aggregate it, and you're going to reach a kezayit. Maila memra, what's the chiddush then? Why is Rabbi Akiva telling you this? If he's telling you heter mitzarf l'isur, that's a big chiddush. But he's just telling you that you have yayin that aggregates up to a kezayit. Why is that a big deal? Hakamash malan. Da'afagav d'tarovet. Even though it's in a mixture, nevertheless, we still say that you can aggregate the kezayit worth of wine, even though it's in a mixture. From here, the Baalei Tosafot show that they think Rashi's understanding of heter mitzarf l'isur is incorrect. And that's because here the Gemara clearly believes that it is a tarovet over here. It's a mixture. And in the mixture, you can either say heter mitzarf l'isur, or you can aggregate the kezayit from the mixture in order to make it isur. Because of tam ki ikar, and even though the flavor is in the bread, we don't say the bread turns into isur like Rashi, but rather we just focus on the flavor, the tam, for the aggregated amount to get to a kezayit. And therefore they show, number one, that tam ki ikar applies only to the yayin aspect of that which is there. And number two is het mitzvah isur is only applicable when it's a tarobit, when it's a mixture, and not when it's separated items. And that's why they, earlier on, criticized Rashi's understanding of het mitzvah isur.
And the Ran and the Rosh Mishans think that tam ki ikar only applies to the flavor and not the object that is being flavored.
So that can't be our source for the fact that Rabbi Akiva holds het mitzvah isur, Rabbi Akiva the Braito. So we came from this braita, the Tanya, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Nazir Shisharat Pito B'Yayin, Nazir that soaked his bread in wine, Vachal Kezayit Mipat Umi Yayin. So here he's explicit, he ate a Kezayit, not just from the Isur, but he ate Kezayit of the pot and the Yayin together, Chayav. And therefore this has got to be a concept of Heter Mitztarif L'Isur, the pot which is Heter, is Mitztarif to the Yayin of Isur, and therefore we see Rabbi Akiva holds of this concept, Heter Mitztarif L'Isur, and that's what Rabbi Yochanan was talking about before, that he says Mishrat teaches you by Nazir this din of Heter Mitztarif L'Isur. That's the case for Rabbi Akiva, Tam Ki Ikar Menole. Where does Rabbi Akiva learn now Tam Ki Ikar from? And again, the Gemara's assumption is that Tam Ki Ikar is a simpler concept, and therefore you would have learned that first. If you had a choice between Tam Ki Ikar and Heter Mitztarif L'Isur, you would have learned Tam Ki Ikar from Mishrat. The fact that Rabbi Akiva doesn't learn it from the Mishrat shows you that he must be learning it from somewhere else. Yalef mi basar b'chalab. He learns it out from mixing milk and meat. Lav taimu ba'almuhu. Over there, the Isser of Basar B'Chalab is that you cook them together and the flavor of the milk is put into the meat and it's a sur, even though the milk is no longer extant, it's no longer there. So you see that Tam Ki Ikar, flavoring of the milk is impactful on the Basar, Basur, and it's still a sur. Hachanami Loshna. So too, in any other Isur, Tam is problematic. Rabbonan mi Basar B'Chalab lo gamrinan. Rabbonan said we can't learn or extrapolate any din from Basar B'Chalab, b'chidushu, because it is exceptional or unique. My chidush. What's so exceptional about Basar B'Chalab? Ilem d'hailuchudei v'hailuchudei shari. If you want to tell me that's because milk by itself is mutar. Basar by itself is mutar. But the adod, the asur, only become asur when they're joined together, they're cooked together. So that's the chidush of Basar B'Chalab, as opposed to other isurim, where they're inherently asur, kilayim nami. Kilayim has that same concept. Hailu chudei, v'hailu chudei shari. When you talk about the grains and the vineyard, each one independently is mutar, ubadadadi asur, and only becoming together, when they're joined together, become asur. So we see, we find this concept, not just by Basar B'Chalab, we find it in other isurim as well. That's the case. It can't be that Basar B'Chalab is a chiddush because of that. Ela, this is the chiddush. Di tarulei kule yomu b'chalva. If you soak meat in milk all day long, shari, it is mutar. Boshule, bishule, if you cook the meat in the milk, asur, it becomes problematic. Why is that? It doesn't make any sense. When you soak the meat in the milk all day, there's still some flavor of the milk that's imparted to the meat. Yet there's no isur min haTorah to eat such meat that was soaked in milk, even though there's flavor of milk that's contained within this basar. And so you see that tam is not the issue that is driving basar b'chalav. Rather, it's got to be something that's unique and maybe not even logical, because when flavor is imparted, it's not asur. When you cook it together, derech bishul asra Torah. So if you cook the milk and meat together, you'll be chayav malkot for cooking them together, and you'll be chayav malkot if you eat them. You soak the meat in milk, you won't get malkot for cooking them together, and you won't get malkot if you eat it. So you could see there that basar b'chalav is unusual in that manner. Now we do have a concept which is, if you soak something for 24 hours in a liquid, it's kikavush, that it is as if it was pickled, and pickling kavush is kibishul dami, as if it's been cooked. First of all, either that could be a din d'rabbanan, or even if you believe it's a din d'oraita, that might be only true that you need 24 hours to be classified as mivushal and absorptive of the flavor. That's true with water. But milk or mei peirot can flavor earlier, even though they're still not classified as bishul until they've soaked in there for a longer period of time to be classified kikavush, which would be like bishul. Rabbi Akiva, nami basar b'chalav vaday chidushu. He did have such a good proof showing that basar b'chalav is unusual. Then Rabbi Akiva also has to believe the same thing, that it's a chidush, and he can't extrapolate from it. Eliyalif mi geulei nachrim. He learns it out from the pots of Midian. After Bnei Yisrael defeat Midian in the Midbar, it says over there that you have to kasher all of their utensils. Why do you have to kasher their utensils? The utensils don't have any items that are be'en extant inside of them. There's no tangible food inside of them. You still have to kasher them. Why? The only reason you have to kasher them is because they have flavor of non-kosher flavor inside of the pots, and that non-kosher flavor will be then imparted to whatever you cook inside of them. So there you see that tam is ki'ikar. Tam has influence or impact, and it's asur. So hachanami no shna, so too, by any other isur, Tamu b'kikar. Rabbanon, Geulei Nachrim, Nami Chidushu. Geulei Nachrim, having to, as Rashi says, Geulei means that which is expunged, that which is exuded by the pot, that flavor is a Chidush, according to the Chachamim. Taha kol noten tam nifkam mutar. Anytime a flavor is a negative flavor or a deteriorated flavor, it is mutar. Degamrina mi nevela. Because we learn from the din of nevela. By nevela, it says you're not allowed to eat a nevela, and you give it to the ger. It's a machloket. That means that whatever is ra'oi for the ger, whatever the ger can eat, that you are restricted from eating. So that means as long as nevela still tastes good, then you're restricted from eating it. If the nevela deteriorates and has a bad taste where the ger won't eat it, then you're not chayav for eating it, because noten tam lifgam. If the flavor is negative, then it's not considered achila anymore. It's not considered to be problematic or an isur. Vasur. And yet, despite the fact that over here, the pots have flavor in them that's deteriorated, nevertheless we say it's asur. So again, this is a chiddush. Even with negative flavor, or flavor that is not mashbiach, improving that which you're cooking in it, nevertheless it's still asur. Rabbi Kiva, kid Rabbi Chia, braid the Rabbi Huna. Rabbi Kiva holds like Rabbi Chia, who says that the case there, the amar, lo asra torah el-bikdera bachuma. That the only thing that you had to kosher was pots that were used in the last 24 hours. Hilkach lav notein tam lifgamu. Therefore, there's no negative flavor. So Rabbi Kiva believes that the Isra of Geulei Nachrim, and that which took place by Midyan, was only pots that were utilized in the last 24 hours. And therefore, the flavor in them is still a positive flavor. And that's what is required to be removed from them, koshering them. And the fact that you have to remove that positive flavor shows you that flavor is impactful. Once you go past 24 hours, the flavor that's imparted deteriorates. It's an eno bat yomo, it's more than 24 hours. In that case, you do not need to kasher it. We, midrabonon, still kasher things that are eno ben yomo. We still worry about flavors that are eno ben yomo. But obviously there are kulot and all sorts of alochot that we've already discussed earlier in the Masechta. And they're also discussed in Chulin and in Avodah Zarah. But that's the view of Rabbi Kiva, and therefore there's no chiddush here by Geulei Nachrim. On the other hand, Rabbanon, k'dera bat yoma, nami lo efshar lo pagma purta. According to the Rabbanon, even a k'dera that's within the first 24 hours, the flavor has deteriorated somewhat. And since it has deteriorated already, that's a chiddush that flavor is still impactful, and you have to kasha the pot for it. Therefore, you can't extrapolate from Geulei Nachrim. So it actually turned out that there are actually three opinions with regards to why you have to kasha the items that are found from Midyan. There's Rabbi Akiva's view, which is you have to kasher them because they have positive flavor within the first 24 hours. Therefore, you need to kasher them to get rid of that positive flavor, and from that we can extrapolate to Tola Torah Kula, that Tam Ki Ikar, that flavor is impactful. When they're over 24 hours, it's a negative flavor, and you wouldn't need to kasher them, at least Min HaTorah. According to the Chachamim, you have to kasher them both when it is within 24 hours, or after 24 hours, because the Torah says you have to kasher them even when the flavor is negative. And they believe that even within the first 24 hours, the flavor deteriorates. And so just like it deteriorates in the first 24 hours and you still need to kasher it, so too after 24 hours where it deteriorates, you'll have to kasher it. And it's a chiddush that even though Tam Ki Ikar, we learn out from Mishrat by Nazir, over here you can't extrapolate from this because here, even when the Tam is not positive, you still have to kasher them, whether it's within 24 hours or after 24 hours. There's a third opinion in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which is Rabbi Meir's opinion, who believes that you have to kasher them both within 24 hours and after 24 hours, not because like the Chachamim, he thinks that noten tam lifgam still requires kashering. He thinks that noten tam lifgam is not a ptur, and that the limud that we have by Nevela is only precluding a case where it's rotted from the core, that the Nevela is so rotten that the ger would never touch it from the outset. That's something where you're not chayav if you eat it. But if something was originally ra'oi la'achila and then deteriorated, Rabbi Meir says that you're still chayav because of isra ba'achilat nevela. And so too over here, where even though the notein tam lifgam within the first 24 hours or after the 24 hours, doesn't matter, that's still asur. And because it's asur, you have to then kasher it to take out that isra, even though it's a negative flavor, both within 24 hours or after 24 hours, because notein tam lifgam is not a ptur, according to Rabbi Meir. Tosvot over here says from the Rabbeinu Yosef, how is it that Rabbi Akiva learns Tam Ki Ikar from Geulei Nachrim to Nazir? If we said at the top of the Amud here that Nazir is the most makil of all these surim, we can learn from it to others, but then how do you learn from Midyan to it that Tam Ki Ikar? So Tosvot makes a suggestion based on the Rabbeinu Yosef that there was wine absorbed in these pots as well by Midyan, and there you see that wine also has this dim of Tam Ki Ikar. Okay, we're going to stop here, six lines from the bottom of Mem Dalid Amud Bet.